It seems to be a bit more reasonable temperature-wise, 51 degrees. You know, we were dealing with 80 degrees at the start of the show yesterday.
Yeah, we actually have spring temperatures now.
So it's not summer-like temperatures, it's spring-like temperatures. Hey, one way or another, we'll take them.
Yes.
But 51 in Kalamazoo, the time is 3:08, and my name is Bob Jones. No, actually, it's Jeremy Lawrence.
When did you go change your name?
Just for a second there. It was nuts. I don't know. But this is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. I am that man himself, Jeremy Lawrence. And along with me, I don't know, we haven't called you a Wonder Producer for a while. So there you go. The Wonder Producer.
Michael Loudon.
There you go. So Michael's with us. And you're with us as well as we get ready to get started on another great venture into the program today. The interesting stuff I want to tell you about, first of all, sometime during the course of the program, and I'm just assuming that Michael will be ready for this. Not right now, obviously, but we're going to be giving away some movie tickets again. So that means some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia, if he can, you know, come up with something, I guess, is going to be headed your way. The tickets for The Other Woman. That's that name of the movie. Cameron Diaz is in. Kate Upton in this one as well. Looks like an interesting one. You'll have to check out the previews and all that. I've seen previews for this several times when I've been in the theater where you just happen to come across this. Oh, okay. Looks kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Celebration Cinema in Portage is going to have that coming up this weekend, actually. That's when it opens. So you'll be amongst the first to go check it out for yourself, The Other Woman. We've got tickets for that. We're going to be giving away sometime during the course of the show. Also, before we dig into things, and we are going to be talking about Obamacare. Also, this one is interesting, a little later in the program. You know, they've always had that discussion about age as it relates to the presidency. Well, now that there's the thought that Hillary Clinton might have another go at it, there's some people saying we can't talk about age and the presidency. We'll tell you why, and we'll dig into it a little bit further, get your opinion on it. That's coming up later in the program. I want to tell you about our video of the day. You know, if I tell you the title of this one, you're just going to get the idea of what it is. But let's just say this is a little something that happened on live television, on the news, and it involved rabbits. That's all I'm really going to say right there. You just have to check out the video for yourself. It's at WKZO.com in the blog section. Or we've got it posted on Facebook, and you can click on the Facebook link and see that one there as well. It's an interesting video. That's all I'm going to say. And it's a short one. But you know what? Some of those things that happen on live television, on news programs around the country, local news, there are going to be some things that you just will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be like the people that were climbing under the desk in California back when the earthquakes hit or any of that stuff, it just sticks with you. So you'll just have to check it out. We do want to spend a little time talking about Obamacare. Some interesting things have come out in the last few days, and we talk about it here and there on the program. And I know that this is a topic that a lot of people are involved with, because let's face it, we've had how many things come up just in the last little while that have related to the Affordable Care Act? And we're all affected by it because somebody decided that we needed to force people to buy something just simply because they draw breath. So, some interesting things afoot. This comes from, and this particular one comes from National Review, Massachusetts Representative Stephen Lynch. He is a Democrat. He actually voted against the Affordable Care Act back in 2010. Now, he said, this is interesting. He said the situation is, quote, going to hit the fan when the law's delayed provisions go into effect down the road. He said, there are parts of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act that were postponed because they are unpalatable. Mentioned the Cadillac tax going to affect a few years that taxes employer health plans over a certain value. He says this will be the first time in the country's history that we have actually taxed health care. Now, he did say this. He said that repeal is impossible because of the number of Americans who signed up for the exchanges. And he says that Democrats are going to take big political hits, feels that they're going to lose seats in the House and probably going to lose the Senate as well. Now, I agree with part of what he said there, that, yeah, the situation is going to hit the fan. I've been saying that all along. I don't think that repeal is impossible. I think it's made a little tougher, but it's not impossible. Because let's face this. All right, they made the announcement the other day that, what was it, 8 million people have signed up. Now, one thing that they have not announced is how many people have actually paid for the health care that they got through the exchange. And that was one thing that came out recently from the White House. They were encouraging people, hey, you know what? When that payment comes due, you're going to have to make that payment. So do us a little favor and pay for your health care. Now, they did that. They've never announced how many people have actually paid for their plans. But what that tells me is not many people are actually paying for these things. If the White House says, hey, you know what? You remember that stuff you signed up for? If you could just pay for it, that'd be great. That kind of tells me, yeah, there's problems. Now, the other interesting thing, this came from about a week ago. Kathleen Sebelius, of course, she stepped down from Health and Human Services, and she said just after that that the timeline for rolling out Obamacare was, quote, flat out wrong. Now, this is the woman that was in charge of rolling it out. But she says, you know what? We needed more time. We needed to be able to test it. It really was not ready to go last October 1st. And I think based on some of the things we've talked about here, it's still not ready. Because you've had stories of people that have bought and then they found a better deal and they went to cancel their plan. And it took how long to cancel their plan? And we've heard so many stories. And, yeah, I know that so many people have said, oh, they're all untrue. All those stories of people that are spending more money, just totally untrue. Well, my opinion on it is this. There's enough of these stories out there of people paying a lot more for their health insurance or paying more on their premiums or having higher deductibles or this, that, the other. You know where there's smoke? There's fire.
There's fire, yeah.
Exactly. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And yeah, okay, some people didn't know what they were doing with the exchange and all this. Fine, whatever. But there were still people that were paying more than what they were before for insurance that was worse than what they had. Now, the other part of it that we see, now, you know, they talked about affordable health care. It's the Affordable Health Care Act. Okay, well, that's great. Well, here's one of the big problems is a shortage of doctors and what needs to happen from there. And I've had suggestions here before, and I'd love to chat with you about other suggestions to make this better, because I think one of the things that you need to do, I mean, look at how much doctors have to pay just to be trained to be called doctor. That's one thing. The second thing is this. How many doctors are willing to go into just general practitioner type work? There's not as much money in that, so they're going, okay, well, if I can go be a specialist, I'll go specialize in cardiology or you know, feet or whatever, you know. If you do that, you tend to make a little bit more money. And here's the thing, here's the key. All the money that goes into being a doctor that you're talking about for a lot of them, you know, there's student loans, there's different loans for this, that, and the other, and that's a lot of money they had to pay just to get there. Once they get to the point of where they're being paid, they have to pay for loans, all the repayments of all that stuff, plus one of the other things they have to pay for is malpractice insurance and things like that, because, you know, this is something that doctors have had to face over and over again, is they have to face this idea that somebody might be upset because, hey, you cut my hangnail from right to left when you should have done it from left to right. I'm going to sue you. you know, and all right, it's maybe not that silly, but it's almost that silly. What's needed here was not let's make everybody have health insurance and let's force doctors to have to take this and that. And, well, you know, this kind of insurance is good and that kind of insurance is bad. And then in the middle of it all, they cut Medicare to make it happen. So here's some of the things that they've had to do. There are different things that need to be done. And getting back to the idea of what to do for the doctor shortage, we need to find a way to be able to encourage people to get into the business and be willing to get into being a family doctor or someone that is not necessarily specialized. Because a lot of these doctors are facing huge bills when they finally get to hang out their shingle and practice their art. You know, and that's the difference here. We've got to find ways to take care of that, ways that help all of us one way or another. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. 382-4280 is the phone number. That's the local phone number if you would like to chat with us. Also, 877-382-4280. You can call that if you are outside the local area. And 80373, if you'd like to text us. If you don't have time to wait around on the phone, you could certainly text us your thoughts as we talk about this. Because, I mean, this is something that is worth looking at and worth fixing. I don't believe that we are beyond the idea of repeal. I think if you repeal and then replace with something else, then you're going to end up with something a little bit better. We just have to figure out replace with what. Now, we'll take your phone calls, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373 if you want to text us. Right now, we're going to take a brief timeout for traffic, and we head on over to Michael for that.
Yes, this traffic tip just came in from a listener. The train signal is malfunctioning in Galesburg at Kings Highway and Michigan Avenue. So okay. It's making it really tough to get through that section.
That would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a definite problem. Okay, so watch that area as you head through there. Well, there's been a lot of things that have come in about this, about Obamacare over the course of time that you have to wonder about. You really have to wonder, with all of the different things that have happened with Obamacare, you really have got to wonder what we need to do. Because if you've got a Democratic congressman, now this is a guy that voted against the Affordable Care Act, but if you've got him saying, hey, this is going to hit the fan, then there's going to be a problem. I think there is definitely going to be a problem. And if you see a shortage of doctors, then you're going to see more of a problem. Now, we could talk about this as we continue ahead, and I hope that we will as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, also 80373. You can text us and let us know what you're thinking about things as we move ahead in the program, talking Obamacare with you. It's Jeremy Lawrence on 590 WKZO. You got 51 degrees here at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Comerica Bank. Raise your expectations of what a bank can be when it's time. Come to Comerica. Just one technical note to bring to your attention. We did have some technical issues. Apparently, we lost power here at the studios for about a second or so. So we did have some people on the phone lines at that point. They were disconnected and cut off. We are absolutely sorry for that. That was not anything we were attempting to do. So if you were on the line at that point and got cut off, please feel free to give us a call back. We want to make sure that you know, as everyone knows, that you are more than welcome to call in with your thoughts and comments. 303-73 is the number for texting, so you can get in touch with us. And right now, headed to the phones as we get in touch with Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Apparently, you guys didn't know about that switch I had installed, so that when I called in, it dumped all your other things. I don't like waiting in line.
You are such a powerful guy, Chris.
Yes. Sorry to everybody else. I was listening to a program earlier today, and they had a guy from the Manhattan Institute on, and he was talking about this very same issue. Mm-hmm. And he threw out some pretty cool ideas that I guess I'm going to have to go read their report now. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, just really basic reforms in the medical industry itself. Not, you know, you mentioned the lawsuit factor. Obviously, we need to do something about tort reform.
Certainly.
You can't sue everybody for every reason, and it affects us most, I think, in medical.
And Chris, if I might interject a little bit, I think one of the biggest things there would be, all right, let's put the risk for a lawsuit on the person that ends up on the losing end of it. So if you go and you lose, guess what? You're going to have to pay the legal bills for both sides.
That would be a huge part of tort reform. But he also threw out some other ideas, and that right now there's a disparity between the number of general practitioners and what they make and mm-hmm. the number of specialists and what they make. And what he said is that if you reformed how we bring doctors into the market and made it less expensive for people to be general practitioners, mm-hmm. would find that more people would become general practitioners. And mm-hmm. and part of that was, you know, we don't, you know, and I guess it goes contrary to what we think of as higher education in the United States. You know, if you're going to be an engineer, you have to have a four-year degree. If you're going to be a doctor, you have to have a four-year degree. If you're going to be, a manager at ROI House in Kalamazoo, you have to have a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things, you don't need a four-year degree for. You need to be a specialist in the field that you're in. You need training on that field, and that goes a long way to reducing cost. And then the other thing that he said is that we should allow people to that are licensed to use their license to the maximum extent. And what he was trying to do was defer the cost of having so many doctors being paid tribute because of the nurses and the physician's assistants that work mm-hmm. underneath them.
Sure.
They all pay into a system that in the end pays a doctor, you know, more and more, and that's a big part of the healthcare cost according to this study. So mm-hmm. again, I want to go read it, but they seemed like very reasonable ideas just in how we look at the delivery of healthcare.
Well, and I think, you know, the one thing that you talk about, I mean, they've talked about a shortage of doctors and that kind of thing. I mean, it goes back to the whole idea of, you know, supply and demand. If there's more of a supply of doctors out there, then demand is going to be more equally met. So prices will tend to be a little lower. You know, and I think some of that really needs to be addressed. I don't think it has.
Well, in the reform, you know, you just went the opposite direction that the reform that we suffer under now, the Affordable Care Act, brought all these new people into this healthcare system, and it didn't add one doctor, one hospital. In fact, it took a lot of people offline. It took a lot of doctors out of the system. It took a lot of hospitals out of the system that are now outside of, in California, the 3 million new insurance holders, and there are one-third of the doctors are coming offline because they're retiring.
Sure. Chris, I got to run. News is coming up. Appreciate your phone call today. And we will continue talking Obamacare with you. Keep it right here, 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. .338, Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Glad you've joined us today. Coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to be talking with Bob Larson from AccuWeather so we could find out just exactly what the weather is going to look like. Looks pretty nice out there, but with the temperature where it is, it's a little cooler. You might want to have a jacket with you as you head on out. But we'll find out what it looks like for the rest of the week with him here in just a little while. We were talking before the break, though, about Obamacare, and we did have someone decide to hang on the line with us. So, Fred, you've been waiting a while. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I'd like to say a couple of things. One, how you started the program, a lot of what you said is right on target. And my son is in his last year of residency, and like the caller before us indicated that it was 4 years to be a doctor, but really you got your 4 years, then you got your 4 years of medical school, and then you have 4 years of residency, which is just like school again, then you have a year of fellowship in many cases, sometimes maybe even 2 or 3 years of fellowship, and then you go, then you hang your shingle out. So by the time you go into practice, you could be anywhere from like 32 to 36 years old before you make a penny, and then you have, at a minimum, you would have the medical school to pay for, and that ranges in the country anywhere from around $250,000 to $500,000 a year at a private school. So it's huge. And a couple of things I just want to echo is, one, yes, we do need to increase, for sure, family doctors.
Mm-hmm.
My son's a neurologist, which we need a lot of those, too. But the point is, first of all, the government needs to get out of this more, because they're hurting people going into family practice by all these stupid things they come up with. And the other thing is the tort reform definitely has to be made. If somebody really gets hurt and there's a doctor that really doesn't belong to practice, they need to get them out of there, because it's not good for anybody, including the doctors. But the majority of the doctors aren't that way. But we need definitely tort reform. And the other thing is I think doctors specialize sometimes, I'd say the bulk of them, because that is an area that they love or have a passion for to go into, the bottom line, not necessarily money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there has to be a happy balance somewhere. But again, the more that the government stays out of the way, let the free market work better for everybody. But we need top quality doctors, so we do have to do it, as we do now, a big screening process. But like we're having here in Kalamazoo with the Western Medical School, as we can open up more medical schools with people that are really educated and ready to go with it, that'll be better for everybody. And but you're right on target, and a lot of your things that you come up with, the topics, they're very good. And I just want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for saying so, Fred, and I appreciate your call today.
Okay, take care.
All right, and we will continue to discuss Obamacare. If you'd like to get your thoughts in on some of the recent developments, you could do so by calling 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, or you can text 803-73 and chat with us that way. Right now, though, we're going to turn our thoughts to something a little more pleasant, and that is taking a look at the weather forecast. Because you know what, Bob Larson, I looked out the window earlier and I just said, you know what, I don't care how cool it is, I still need to get out and run in this. This looks great.
Yeah, it certainly is nice, no doubt about it. Cooler than yesterday when we were right around that 80-degree mark. Official high yesterday, incidentally, was 79, so we fell just short of 80. More than 25 degrees cooler today, but at least the sun is shining, and this is not to compare to the cool down we had 1 week ago today. Last Tuesday, the high was 35, and there was snow on the ground. So we'll take this.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I guess, is it going to get a little chilly tonight as we head for the overnight hours?
It is going to get chilly. The wind gradually dies off, should be a non-factor after 10, 11 o'clock, but the temperature drops into the lower 30s or even around 30 by daybreak, so it is going to be a cold night. But then we start to see the mercury rebound a bit tomorrow, and especially on Thursday, we should be back into the 60s. I don't see 80 again in our near future, but it is going to turn milder later in the week.
Milder is a nice word. Now, is that the word you chose today?
Well, the word I actually have today is slap, because after being about 80 yesterday, we've got a gusty northwest wind, and it's 25 degrees colder than yesterday, so it's a bit of a slap to the face if you're not prepared for it. You go outside and say, whoa. But, again, all things considered, big picture, it's really not that bad.
Now, Bob, that's not because somebody tried to slap you around because they thought you were responsible.
Trust me,
for
no.
That
may have happened at some point in the past. I'm not going to divulge that, but not today.
All right. Okay. Well, now, you know, a lot of people are thinking, I mean, we got the week and we're thinking about, okay, 60s a little bit later. What's our weekend look like? Because I know people are already making some plans.
We talked about the warmer weather that moves back in at the end of the week, but that also is accompanied by showers. Showers develop later Thursday with rain continuing Thursday night, maybe into the first thing Friday morning. It looks as though it is going to be drying out, though, by Friday afternoon and the weekend. At this point, looks to be at least Saturday looks to be fairly mild. I think back to 60 or above. Showers are possible later Sunday, but still on the mild side between 55 and 60. I do see it turning chilly though as we head deeper into next week, but we'll worry about that later.
Okay. All right. So I guess all we're really looking at is some wetness a little bit later. But
yeah, that moves in later Thursday. Until then. Yeah, it's going to be chilly tonight, but temperatures rebound after that. You know, the average high at this point is above 60. It's right around 62 today, mm-hmm. the average high. So we're clearly below average today, but as we could see, it was way above average yesterday and Easter Sunday.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you for your above-average weather forecast, regardless of where the temperatures are.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeremy.
I'm being nice, Bob.
Yes,
is that check
you
in the
are.
Mail? I just have to ask.
Pardon me?
Is that check in the mail?
I had to check. You know, I haven't gone to the mailbox yet, but
okay.
I'll be sure to let you know.
All right, then. Well, Bob, I appreciate you letting us know what's going on.
All righty.
All right, Bob Larson from AccuWeather keeping us in the know, and we'll keep you in the know on what we understand, what we believe, what our opinions are, because we're talking Obamacare today, and you can too. By giving us a call at 382-4280, or 80373 is our text number, and somebody's done that. Or you can call us toll-free, 877-382-4280. Things to share with you as we continue the program. Keep it here. Holding steady at 51 degrees in Kalamazoo, just a slight breeze, about 12 to 15 miles per hour. And we continue here with your afternoon together. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. And we've been talking Obamacare. I've gotten a few of your phone calls. Love to get some more from you as well if you'd like to chime in on things. And, you know, particularly, even if you are someone who feels like, you know what, Obamacare is what we needed. If you think I'm flat out wrong, feel free to give me a call. Tell me why. I'd love to hear from you, too. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373 if you'd like to text your thoughts. Someone did text a thought as well. They said, the technology of today with the free market of 80 years ago would be great regarding Obamacare. That's just some of the comments that we've gotten. You know, the one thing that I wondered about is how long it would take Michael to stop the show for a traffic note. And, you know, my wondering is over because he just has.
Yes.
So there's some traffic to deal with. So time out for traffic.
Yes, this is just coming in from a texter. They wanted to let us know that the train signal in Galesburg is not malfunctioning. It's been under construction for the past 4 days. They are unsure when it will be complete. And if you're traveling through Galesburg, it just says to take North 35th Street to HJ or K Avenue to North 33rd Street instead of going through the North 33rd and East Michigan area.
Okay. Now repeat that one more time because I'm sure there's people going, huh? What? Where? Who? What?
Yes.
Turn where?
The train signal is malfunctioning at North 33rd and, or not malfunctioning, but
they're repairing.
It's under construction at North 33rd and East Michigan Avenue in Galesburg. So instead of going through that area, just go take North 35th Street to HJ or K Avenue instead.
Just kind of take a trip around it, basically.
Just a little detour.
There you go. Okay. So that'll help you get around that area, make it a little bit better for you as you head through there. Other than that, we've got things fairly reasonably well off here as far as traffic goes. We're not getting too many things reported at this point. So definitely keep it here, though, because once we hear about stuff, we're going to let you know about it. And if you see anything, 80373 is the way to let us know, so that particularly if you like to hear Michael's voice, you know.
I'm sure there's some people out there that do.
And to those people, Michael would like to say, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Oh, and hi, Kathleen.
Yeah, there you go. You got to get the fiance in there as well. All right. Well, back to Obamacare, as we were talking about this. And as we've been talking about this, one of the things that I've wondered is, and I've said this earlier, if you're just joining us, the one thing you don't hear is how many people have actually paid for their coverage. And interesting thing, I mean, I looked around for stats. The best thing I can find that gives you some indicator is stats from the state of Georgia. That's the only state that's really released much of anything at this point. And they're saying that about half of their enrollees have paid premiums for their health insurance. Now, if you're going to make the assumption that, you know what, they have a little while to pay for it, okay, more are going to pay for it. But 50% at this point is not a good number.
Not at all.
That is not a good number at all. So if you're taking, if we're to extrapolate, and we'll just do this sort of a hypothetical thing and say, all right, let's just say that the national average is going to be similar, because it might be. It'll be close one way or another. Let's just say that, okay, enough people get in and pay for it in Georgia to say, all right, 65%. Okay, 65%. We'll put it that way. What would that do for the national numbers? They're saying 8 million have signed up. So you're talking about, what, 4-point-something million?
Mm-hmm.
Some, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I haven't calculated them. But that's not a good number. That's not a number that makes the Affordable Care Act sustainable in any form or fashion. The other thing that that they don't talk about is a lot of, okay, well, what kind of Medicaid signups is this? Because Medicaid is a totally different animal. And you've got people signing up for Medicaid that are in a position to be able to say, well, they're not going to be able to pay for it. So this is the government picking up the tab, as it were. So if you've got that thrown into the mix, you know, I guess it takes me back to the whole thing from the beginning. I don't understand how throwing more people into the same system and not providing more of a supply of doctors or healthcare professionals, how that is going to make for more affordable healthcare for everybody. How does that work? There is, and I would challenge anybody to tell me, how is it that works? Because how is it going to work that you've got more people thrown into the system, and some of these people are people that are not paying for the system, plus you've got government bureaucracy that you have to pay for in the midst of this? How does all of that end up making it more affordable for people? This is affordable for some people because, you know what, they weren't paying anything before and they're not paying anything now. And hey, shucks, they got health care. Okay, but for a lot of people, they're paying a lot more than what they were before, and they're getting a lot less in terms of coverage. And we have heard story after story from people that are in the know on this and studying this and saying, you know what, premiums could go up by double or triple next year. So, again, I wonder, how does this end up being a good thing? And, you know, I think there's a lot of people who would say, well, 8 million speaks for itself, 8 million people. Yeah, well, here's the thing, 8 million people with a gun to the head saying, you know what, you got to sign up for health care and pay for it, or otherwise you're going to have to pay a fine. Well, who wants to pay a fine?
Nobody.
I'm not seeing any hands out there. Who wants to step? Yes, I'll pay a fine, absolutely. You know, so you're in a situation to go, okay, well, I guess I got to do something here. So you're forced to pay for a plan. And you're forced to pay for things you don't need. Tell me, I mean, how many ladies listening right now are going to say, yes, I need prostate exams? How many men listening right now are going to say, you know what, I need that annual OBGYN appointment? You just don't need it, you know? I mean, there's differences here. But we all have a one-size-fits-all plan. And that's the key to Obamacare. The whole way around, it was one-size-fits-all. Well, we want to make sure that we've got affordable health care for everyone. Well, that's fine. But guess what? I'm not like you. you're not like me, and neither of us is like that other person over there. You know? There is no clear way to make it work affordably given the system that we have now. And if you've got a Democratic congressman coming out and he said this, that, you know what, the situation's going to hit the fan when the law's delayed provisions go into effect down the road. And you've got to wonder, if these things are so good and Obamacare is so great, why, oh, why has the president decided, let's put off this part of the law and that part of the law? And, oh, we'll conveniently put this part off until, oh, after the election. I wonder why we did that. This is the stuff we're dealing with. And think about this. When the employer mandate comes in, how many employers will say, it's going to be cheaper to pay the fine than it will be to pay for coverage? And then how many more people have been thrown into a situation of no coverage, and then they got to go on the exchange and put up with all the problems and pay more for less? You know, this is just the stuff that we've been dealing with over this. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373 will get to us if you want to text us as we're talking Obamacare here, because these are serious things that nobody seems to want to deal with. No one seems to want to deal with these things as we talk about healthcare in this country. You know, you've got the president saying, it's the law, it's done, it's over with. We've got to move on. But if it doesn't work, if it's a law that is falling apart every time it takes a step, then it's not a good law. It's something that needs to be repealed and replaced. And that's the other part, is replacement. And it's something that both sides need to talk about, not just one. We're going to continue talking with you. We're going to be talking about age and the presidency. Is it important in this day and age to talk about how old someone is when they run for president? We'll talk about that with you as we continue ahead. Keep it here.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.